Well, good morning. It's good to be back. Thank you. I heard that Russell did a good job. I appreciate that. He's a good young man. He's a great Bible teacher. And I kid with him at work all the time. I tell him, you're going to be a pastor one day. You just wait and see, you know. And he was like, I don't know. He does a great job teaching our classes on the campus. And I don't know. Not being a prophet here, but I just think that God's got a call in his life, and him and the Lord will work that out, right? In time. But yeah, for some of you, you know, we went on a vacation. Lynn and I had a great time, and I don't want to tell you all about that from the pulpit, but we would like to share an adventure with you. How about that? We had a great time. 7 days, I was ready to come home and get my recliner, though. I know it sounds spoiled. But, it was a 7-day cruise in Valentine's, celebrating with my brother and his wife. We had a grand time. And on the third day, I bit into my omelet and hit a pebble, a little rock. Just cracked. I was like, what is this? And, got it out, and it was a little pebble, and it broke half my tooth off. In the very back, on the bottom back there, way back there. Literally just broke the whole half tooth off, stone. And I was just sitting there, just waiting for the devil to show up in my mouth, It was just terrible pain, just waiting. And it didn't happen, and just kept going. Each minute, each hour was going by, I was just waiting for that terrible tooth pain to come. And I'll tell you guys, man, I really appreciate, you praying for us. And sometimes we joke about traveling mercies and, those prayers like that. But it did not hurt me the entire cruise, And I just want to praise the Lord for that, because that would have been terrible, with 4 more days out there. So I just praise the Lord for that. I still broke right now, I can feel it, This morning it was said, hello, I'm here. you're going to have to go to the dentist tomorrow. So I'm making a appointment tomorrow or whenever I can get in and see if they can fix this old tooth. Thank you guys. It was quite an adventure. I appreciate you giving us time off to go celebrate. We like to travel, and God's blessed us with a wonderful marriage all these years, and we've learned to make that a priority, to take time together and do stuff together that we enjoy and have fun. And so I encourage you married couples, or you guys are just getting married, don't get too busy working, right? Don't get too busy doing things. Spend time with each other. And when I want to meddle in that, I meddled in that a couple weeks ago, right? All right, so let's pray. Let's do through that. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for my church family. And we sure missed them. And it's glad to be back and glad to see everyone. And Lord, I just pray right now over this message that you've given me. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, you've been pouring this into my heart, and I pray that you give me the courage to say it right. And I pray for the ears that are hearing, whether it's here or on the internet. Father, I ask you for your help. Holy Spirit, I need you more than any time right now to be able to share this message with the folks. So I just pray and trust you and know that you're in control, and it's not me or any fancy words I may come up with or something from my flesh, but it would be you speaking to all of us in an area that I feel like we need to hear in the church body. And Father, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, I have a message this morning that's a little delicate. Is that okay? And so I'm going to deliver it, and I'm just going to share what God's put on my heart this morning. So let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verses 14-25. And I have the NASB version, New American Standard Bible version. Romans chapter 7, verse 14-25. All right, let's go ahead and read Romans 7, 14 through 25. All right, verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the bondage of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. But on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin." Amen. I'm going to talk to you this morning about a subject that may be a little touchy, but we're going to listen to the Lord and the Word here. We've heard a lot of tragedy over the last day or so, right? With the folks getting, you know, killed in the car accidents and that sort of thing. Some of you may be aware, though, something else in the news. In the last 30 days, within the last 30 days, 11 people have died in Tifton, Georgia, because of a drug overdose. Now, I would be talking to you about this even if I was not a drug counselor. I give you my word. 11 people in the last 30 days in Tifton. And it's happening in Valdosta. And one of them actually happened to be one of our Penfield graduates. And I spent some good time with that young man and his precious family and mama and daddy. And it's very sad. Folks, there's an epidemic running in our communities. Okay? And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Listen to these statistics. 50% of all church members sitting in a church pew know someone with a drug and alcohol problem. Over half. Okay? Whether it's a family, or friend, or co-worker, or neighbor. Over 50% of church members sitting in our church pews are personally dealing with what we call a life-controlling problem. 50%. And every church, that statistics, Southern Baptist Association did. Here's another one, ready? 80% of men in America, 80% of men in America, and 50% of women in America look at pornography at least once a month. heard Dr. Jeremiah do a whole sermon about this, and I'm not going to go there. Anybody ever heard him do a sermon on that one? He talks about the websites and the top 10 websites in the world. You know, obviously Google and Facebook and Netflix and Twitter and all them are right up there. But within that top 10, several of them are pornography sites. The number one site in the world comes from Canada. The next four sites in the top five come from America. And he gave the analogy that if you took the reel-to-reel of pornography being shown, and if you stretched it out on a tape, it would go around the world 10 times. Sevent 5% of our middle-aged children try some type of mood-altering chemical. 75% middle-aged children try some kind of mood-altering drug. 50% of all high school children are somewhat actively using some type of mood-altering chemical. Did y'all hear that? That is eye-opening. There is an epidemic, and it is attacking our families. It is attacking our children. It is attacking our communities. Can y'all hear me? And we have to clean house. We have to clean house. And you know where it starts, guys? It starts in our homes. Our homes. Christian believers, people who love the Lord. It needs to start in our homes. We must repent and pray for this. It must start in our churches. It must start here. When the Lord starts dealing about this, he says, our church, right here. The other churches, we can't be responsible for them. But for our church, right? We're going to serve the Lord. If this is going on in our church, in my home, in our home, in your home, within our church body, we need to repent. And we need to pray. You may say, well, this doesn't affect me. I don't have these kind of problems. Those problems are over there for those bad people. Mm-mm. It's happening to lawyers and doctors and teachers and nurses and plumbers and farmers and truck drivers and Indian chiefs. Right? If you say it doesn't bother you and it's not bothering you in your life, please learn the information I'm about to share with you so that you can go and you can help other people. You can help your family members. You can help your youth, your college age, your children, your grandchildren. You can help your neighbors. You can help your friends or coworkers. You can share information. For some of you who don't know, I have a website. It's basically my name, DallasBennett.com. If you know someone who has a problem like this, tell them to go to my website, DallasBennett.com. Can y'all remember that? Really, I have a free video and all kinds of information. I have a free book. They can download an e-book that explains a lot of stuff in detail, but it can help. So, you know, please. But we as a church body, we need to repent and pray and be actively involved in this epidemic. If not, it will infiltrate into our family, into our church. We need to put that hedge of protection around us and our children and our grandchildren. So we have grandchildren. You know, a lot of you guys are going to have grandchildren. They're coming up of age. It can sneak up on anyone. It's the devil. Y'all hear me? You know? The devil's a roaring lion, right, guys? Seeking whom he may devour. We need to be ready and be prepared with the shield and the armor. Jesus said this. He said, feed my sheep. In John 21:17. This is one of the scriptures. There were several scriptures in my study. And when Pauline and the pastor search committee was, you know, interviewing me. And there were several scriptures that really, really got me and spoke to my heart about I need to go ahead and pursue and follow through with this, and maybe this is God's plan for my life. And this is one of the scriptures. Jesus 21:17 Jesus talking to Peter. We know the scripture. Jesus said, he said to him on the third time, he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said what to him? He said, "Feed my sheep." And that scripture really just penetrated me in my heart. If you look up that word "feed," if you look up in the Greek and look up the, you know, the Greek deeper meaning of it, I'm just going to read it to you, okay? Here we go. It means feed. This is what it means. It means portraying the duty and responsibility of a Christian teacher to promote in every way the spiritual welfare of the members of the church. That's powerful to me. You know, and that's an anointing. It's a spiritual gift. It's part of the fivefold ministry gifts that God places upon people. And I don't say that arrogantly, but I just have confidence now that, you know, that's one of my responsibilities now is to feed the sheep. Right? And then it says, in every way, the spiritual welfare. And this morning, it's like I have this cloak on me of, you know, I'm the protective shepherd now. And I'm a little ticked. Sorry, that's not a good word to say, I guess, but I'm a protective shepherd now, and I love you guys, and I'm going to tell you the truth about what's going on out there and the sneaky, lying, deceptive ways of the enemy. And one of the major tools right now is this whole thing about drugs and pornography and the lust of the flesh. So that's where we're going. Everybody okay with that? Jesus says, repent of those sexual immoralities. Let me take just a few minutes and I want to explain to you, because I feel like you need to know. The Bible says that we perish because of lack of knowledge. And so I'm going to give you a little bit. I'm going to take about 8 minutes. Everybody okay? I'm going to share with you some knowledge about what happens. See, when you talk about pornography and addiction and those things that really spike up the flesh, because when the Bible talks of flesh, it's not literally talking about our flesh, right? I mean, really, basically, God created our brain. So he's really talking about those neurotransmitters in our brain that fire off and connect and give us emotions. The Bible talks a lot about our emotions. When we talk about our heart. The heart, we know, we're not going to go there, but it talks about our mind, will, and our emotions. And the Bible even talks about us being directed by the bowels down in here, you know. About being in Psalms, talks a lot about being directed and guided by our bowels. Well, you know, medical scientists will tell you now that in your intestines, it releases serotonin and dopamine and all those emotions, even in your belly, and also in your brain, definitely, but even in your belly, you know. So, when you're talking about addiction and a life-controlling problem like nicotine, drugs, dip, alcohol, drugs, legal drugs, or illicit drugs, and then you talk about pornography, you're all talking about the same thing. You're talking about the abundance of chemicals rushing through our body, giving us an unnatural feeling of pleasure. And the way that works is, let's imagine you have your brain, right? And your brain's basically made of two parts. Now, some of you are a lot smarter about this than I am, so let me keep it simple. Is that okay? I'm going to countryize this a little bit. Okay, I'm going to keep it real simple. Your brain's basically made of two parts. I know there's a lot of different parts, but, you know. There's the top part and the bottom part. Everybody say top part? Bottom part. Okay, it's the top part and the bottom part of your brain. God made this. He designed this so that we can be a human being and not a human doing. He didn't want robots running around like puppets, and he's not the master puppeteer, you know. He wants to have feelings and emotions and that sort of thing. So the top part of your brain is the top part of your brain that where we get the desire to plan for our future. It's the top part of our brain is where we're can plan things out, you know, and that kind of thing. That's kind of like the real you. The bottom part of your brain is what we call the midbrain. Some of you got to remember this from science, from school. The midbrain controls the automatic functions of our body. Okay, and the midbrain is where we get the uncontrollable desire to drink water and eat food so that we can live as a human being. That bottom part of our brain is the automatic part of our brain that, you know, keeps us going, the automatic functions. Is this okay to talk to you guys about this? You interested? This is what the Lord put on my heart right now, and I need to square this up here. So the bottom part, in that bottom part of your brain, we'll call there's a little pump down in there. It's not really a pump, but I like to call it a pump because it's easy to understand. Okay, it's a little pump, kind of looks like a thing you put in a baby's nose. Right? A little bulb. Okay, put in the baby's nose. I'm not going to call it that. But anyway, a little bulb. And God put this in there, and that little bulb was full of different chemicals. And everything we do as a human being, okay, that little pump gets stimulated and it shoots out these chemicals, and those chemicals give us a feeling. Okay? This is just the biological part, because true addiction, you know, is biological, psychological, social, and spiritual. So there's a whole component to it. Right now I'm just kind of talking to you about the biological part. You know, I'm teaching an hour and a half class in 5 minutes here. Pray for me, Pete. You know, all right? And so that little bottom part is pumping out these chemicals. I'm telling you this because especially these young folks and some of you don't really understand how this works. You need to know to help people sometimes in areas. So that little pump around there, that little bulb, is full of chemicals. Okay? Now, some of you remember this from school. One chemical is called serotonin, right? That's how we go to sleep as a human being. Serotonin is released out, you know, that's part of it, but it makes us sleepy and calms us down. Okay? And then there's dopamine, which gives us pleasure. That's how we have pleasure. Okay? And then there's endorphins. That's a natural pain reliever. Okay? And then there's a thing called GABA, which is a big, long $50 word I can't spell or pronounce. But it helps with anxiety, you know, reducing anxiety. It's like an anti-anxiety chemical. And there's other ones in there, too. You know, there's some other ones we won't get into. And but God created our brain so that we can have all these things. And if that pump's working correctly, like if you're in here and you have minor anxiety issues, sometimes it's just biology. You don't have enough GABA pumping out, you know. Or if you have minor sleep problems, you don't have enough serotonin pumping out, you know. And there's some natural things you can do, and then there's some medicinal things you can do with medicine, you know. Like when you eat good food, if it's pleasurable to you, your little pump releases out dopamine, and you get a pleasurable feeling. Okay, y'all with me? You watch your son slide in the second base, he's safe. Yay, you know, he's safe. Okay, you get a little dopamine release because it makes you happy, you know, yay. If you hit your finger with a hammer, bam, it hurts. You know, ah, that little pump releases endorphins, trying to numb the pain as much as possible. You know, if we're walking through the woods and a grizzly bear jumps out on us, huh? That little pump's all of a sudden going to start shooting out epinephrine, we call it adrenaline. It's going to start shooting out adrenaline, trying to get you to get out of there, or pick up a stick and fight, or like me, I might fall down and, please don't eat me, Mr. Bear. You know? You never know how you're going to react. As soon as you get away and you get back to your truck, that little pump starts firing out GABA, trying to keep you from going to a panic attack, trying to keep your anxiety down, you know? So God created all this in our brain so that we can live and function and have fun and joy and go on adventures and have fun. I won't say much about this, but, you know, husband and wife, you know, right? You know, the same area, that kind of thing. And that happens. All right. You ready? That little pump, when a person puts drugs and alcohol into their body, say cocaine is an example. See, cocaine is just made from a plant, like a coca plant. And you crush it up, manipulate it, put it in their body. That cocaine runs through the system and hits that pump. And it fires out a whole bunch of dopamine. And that's where they get the pleasure from. That pleasurable experience is like a massive amount of dopamine. An unnatural amount. God did not create our brain to release that much dopamine. And for you adults who can read between the lines, it's as if, well, I'm just not even going to go there. You know, 15 minutes, you know. Anyway, I just need people to understand the devilness, the wickedness behind these drugs and alcohol and what it physically does to our body. But it releases way too much dopamine. Like when a person is drinking alcohol, alcohol doesn't make you drunk. Alcohol is just barley, wheat, and yeast, and hops, and sugar, and let it sit for a while. Some of it we let sit for longer. But if you put that alcohol in your body, it runs through your system and hits that pump and releases major amounts of dopamine at first. That's where you get the pleasure from. That's where people drink to get the buzz from. You know, I saw a lot of that this week on the cruise. some people are silly, man, aren't they? Anyway, praise the Lord, not me today. Boom, right? But with alcohol, that dopamine wears off and it's followed by major amounts of serotonin. That serotonin starts pumping out, causing them to do what? Pass out and go to sleep. That's how people die. They go over, serotonin rushes out, right? Same thing with pain pills. A lot of pain pills. These 11 people die from heroin. If you don't think heroin's around here, you're in a fantasy land. South Georgia is full of heroin. Okay, it's affecting the young kids, the teenagers. They start out with pain pills and grandma's nerve pills and pain pills, and they end up because they can buy heroin so cheap. Okay, and they start out in a pill form, and they smoke it, and they wind up shooting it. And when they start shooting it, it's over. Your son, daughter, I don't care if they were straight-A students, they will turn into a monster. It's the beast within them starts coming out. It's the devil. I'm telling you, it's the lustful desires of the flesh. God did not create our brain to release this much chemicals. So we have to be on guard. We have to be careful. We have to protect our family. We have to protect our church family. Person starts drinking and drugging long enough, what happens? Remember that little pump? That little pump. See, it shoots out. When you do something natural, right? That pump releases a chemical and gives you a feeling that fills right back up. You ride a roller coaster, you catch a big fish, gives you a chemical, pleasurable feeling, it fills right back up. Sex, pleasurable feeling, fills right back up. Okay, when a person puts drugs and alcohol in their body, what they're saying is their life is not content right then at that point in their life. They either have too much physical pain, too much emotional pain from trauma or abuse, or they're just being stupid. Can I say that from the pulpit? And they're just making a really bad decision, a really bad choice. Okay, but sometimes it's either or both. But what they're saying is their life at this particular moment is not content enough with what God has given us naturally. And they're saying, I'm going to go over here to this outside substance, okay, and I'm going to gather it up, whatever it may be, and I'm going to put it in my body, and I'm having a spiritual experience outside of God. That's basically what they're saying. That's why they call it wine and spirits. You ever thought about that? You know, wine and spirits. But that's what they're literally having. We can look at the Old Testament view and talk about the pharmacologia and all that and how pharmacy is where we get the root word, you know, pharmacy and all that. We can go there, but I'm not going to do that. But basically, they've been doing it since the beginning of time. Going out, gathering up some kind of root or herb or cactus or some kind of craziness, and putting everybody dancing around some kind of fire, worshiping some kind of false god. And that's really the root of it. It's saying, I don't need God. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to gather up this substance, whatever it may be, even a drink. Guys, I'm telling you, alcohol is a number one drug problem in America. Alcohol destroys more marriages than anything. 25% of emergency room visits are alcohol or drug related. So don't minimize alcohol, right? I mean, step on no toes. It can become very addictive. I see more people die from alcohol than any other drugs, period. But what happens, you start gathering up this information. You're gathering up this drugs and alcohol into this pump, and what happens, it pumps out way too much chemical. God didn't create it to pump this much, but the person who's drinking and drugging don't realize it at that time. They just know that it feels great. It numbs whatever pain's going on. It fixes kind of whatever problem's going on at that time. That's a deception from the enemy. He's the liar and the father of lies. Right? And what happens is that pumps out way too much chemicals. And that pump tries to fill back up. It gets a little bit close. But they don't know this when they first start drinking and drugging. And what happens is that they keep drinking drug and that pump keeps doing what? That pump keeps getting low because it's pumping out massive amounts of these chemicals that God put in our brain. Because He wanted us to have feelings and He wanted us to be happy and He wanted us to be sad. God created our pump to be sad at times. Y'all know it's okay to be sad? That's part of the grieving process. God wanted us to be angry at times. He did. Anger is nothing more biologically than that pump shooting out epinephrine, adrenaline. Causing you to get, it's how you direct that anger. Jesus said angry, but sin not. So persons don't know all this at the very beginning. They don't have this information and knowledge that you're getting right now. And so they're just doing it and doing it. And that pump starts getting lower and lower. And that pump starts getting lower. It may take 3 months, 5, 6 months. It may take 2, 3, 4 years. But what happens is it's like they're going one step forward and two steps backwards. One step forward and two steps backwards. I'm eventually going to what? I'm eventually going way back there. That's what happens, guys. Biologically, that pump starts getting lower and lower and lower and lower of this chemical that God put in our brain. And as it gets lower and lower, the tolerance gets bigger. And now it takes more drugs and it's shooting out more chemicals. And pretty soon, bam, the devil's got a foothold, biologically speaking. Because see, as a human being, we have to have those certain chemicals function around our brain. Well, we can't function as a human being. I worked 5 years in a psychiatric hospital. I've seen folks with dementia and drug-induced psychosis and all those crazy things that can happen when you don't have enough chemicals pumping around in that brain. You can't function as a human being. And so what happens is that person's pump gets so low that they cross this line. It's what we call the line of addiction. And once they cross this line of addiction, that pump, remember that pump is the midbrain. It's the animalistic part of our brain. That animalistic, that midbrain will begin to start overriding the rational part of you. That rational part of you. And it'll start driving you, this internal drive, just like you or me crashed in a plane on a mountain. And we haven't had anything to eat in about 50 days. Every one of our beast brain, our animalistic midbrain would kick in. And you'll eat a raw rabbit, wouldn't you? You may eat me for so will. I know I'm looking pretty good right now. I'm losing weight, though. I'm losing weight. Remember the cartoon of the little guy standing on the little blade turns into a turkey leg? Remember that? But that's literally, biologically, what happens. Okay? That pump gets so low, it becomes very difficult. It's literally like if you were in a desert and your plane crashed and you're crawling through the desert and it'd be about 4 or 5 days without water and you came up on me and I had this water. Say it was a kind-hearted man. Real little Monopoly-looking man, you know? Kind-hearted Sunday school teaching man. Real kind, wouldn't hurt a flea. Love the Lord, love Jesus, everything. And he crawled up on you after about 5 days of this water, and you said, no, sir, you don't need none of this water. Odds are, that kind-hearted man is going to do what? He's going to crack your kennel up with a desert rock and kill you to get that water, wouldn't he? He may not, but the odds are, pretty much, his beast brain, his survival mode is kicking in so bad that he's going to do whatever to get that water. Remember that guy that got caught in the mountains? And he took his MacGyver knife out? And sawed his own arm off, you know, and got out of there. That's the level when a person truly gets addicted to something. We're not talking about substance abuse or doing a little bit here and there. We're talking about true addiction. That pump gets so low that animalistic beast part comes out, and that's where the devil rams. That's what we call the beast. That's the ultimate lustful desires of the flesh. In other words, that person will do ungodly things to get what they feel like they need to feel that chemical pump back up. And the real sad part of it is they really do need those chemicals to function. Those chemicals get too low, they start hallucinating and seeing things and hearing things that's not there. And it gets really, really wild. Everybody with me? And I wanted to share that with you this morning so that you can understand that it's not just them or those folks just don't do it. Yes, that's true at the beginning, but at the end, it becomes very difficult. And they need intervention. They need serious prayer. They need someone to go in and hit them over the head with a baseball bat and drag them into hospital. They don't need, you know, the little, "We'll be thinking about you, brother." They need serious intervention. Because at that true addiction part, and I'm talking about pornography too, I've seen grown men lose everything over pornography addiction. And these days, and these cell phones, and right? And I'm talking to you guys here now, right? Grown men lose their marriage, you lose their good job. Y'all hear me? Men? I worked with men that were broken at the core. Nice young man. He was like one of the managers of a bank. Like, had a good job, respectable. And I'm going to say this because this is the truth. His 9-year-old daughter walked in on him on the computer. You know what I mean? You let that happen, that'll destroy your world. It's unimaginable, the guilt and shame, right? And he was a nice guy. Oh, yeah, we all start out as nice people, right? Not really. The Bible says we have a wicked heart. We just read that, didn't we? A wicked heart. There's nothing good within us. Every day we have to put on the armor of God and protect us. Men, women too. We have to put on the armor of God and be responsible with what we look at and what we listen to. Amen? Sins of the flesh. Two things, please, and we'll close. Two things. Let's look at our house. Let's look at our house. Let's look at our church. Let's look at our church family. If we need to repent, let's repent. You can do it privately. You don't have to come down here, but privately say, "Lord, okay, Lord, I'm repenting of this. I'm not going to allow the enemy to open up a foothold or get a wedge into myself or into my family." And the second thing is pray. Pray for your children, little children, middle school, high school, college, young adults, even older people, right? Pray. I want to give you a mission, you should say. If the Lord puts it on your heart to do this, I really appreciate it. Every Friday morning, what day? Every Friday morning, or Friday during the day, or at night, or whenever you have your prayer time, or on the way to work Friday, every Friday, just what day? Friday. If I say it three times, you'll get it, right? So Friday, every Friday morning, if the Lord and the Holy Spirit can put it in your mind to specifically pray for this epidemic. Because, you know, guys, we know the storm's coming. Remember I talked about that? We're not going to stop this. We're going into the end of the age, man. Christ is coming back soon. He's going to crack them clouds, right? I can't wait. But let's pray that hedge of protection, that the enemy doesn't get into your family, doesn't get into our church family. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? So every Friday, pray for this epidemic. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for helping me deliver this in a short time. I pray that it would not fall on rocky ground, Lord, that it would fall on some good soil. This will be planted and it will grow. Father, twofold, Lord. One is we would see some repentance within our house, our families. Second, Lord, is that our church body, Lord, would find the passion to rise up, Lord, and come against this epidemic that's affecting our children and older folks too. Lord, that they would pray every Friday, Father. Every day would be great. But you know, Lord, that if those specific prayers on Friday could, or if there were one here today that would like to come to the altar, Lord, and just lay it all out there and be glad to pray with them. Or if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ, or today is the day of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son Jesus to die on a cross. You raised him from the grave. That we do have power and victory in Christ. That we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And greater is he that's in us and he is in the world. Lord, we know that, Lord. We thank you for the armor that you've given us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us and teaches us and corrects us and the Word of God that covers everything, Lord. Lord, if there's one here today that would like to join our church, Lord, they come down and talk to us. So I just plead the blood of Jesus over our church family and all these families and kids and everybody. In the name of Jesus. Amen.